Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
I am protected by God.
More like crazy.
God speak to me. Tell him, tell me he protect me.
Mm-hmm. I missed Natalie last week on this show, and this is a better show when she is on it.
How do you even relate to someone who's that off? Like, how does she go through the world?
She is very, very,
she doesn't, it's not even, it's not a language thing.
No, she's very, I don't like to use this word, but it's the word that comes up if I'm being honest. She has got a lot of, she's just damaged.
Yeah.
She has got a lot of shit to work through.
I am protected by God.
But she is, like, sometimes she's not. And I'm not diagnosing or anything this way, but sometimes it's like you have multiple personalities, or she just switches so quickly, and it's not between just one and two. It's not like high low. It's just whatever hat she wants to try on that moment. I bet she's a fantastic actor.
Oh, I bet so
too. I bet
too.
She's really good.
Well, to me, it seems like. Everything, there's no, you're right. For me, it seems like there's no situation that has the stakes. If we're on a 1 to 10 scale, every situation is an 11.
Yes.
The stakes of everything.
Yes. It's so high for her.
Her response to a normal question is ridiculous. It mm-hmm. feels completely out of the ballpark. And she can't have small talk.
No.
And small talk freaks her out because she wants to talk about... It's weird because I've had some Eastern Europeans friends like this where everything is either intense, dry sarcasm mm-hmm. or... Which I don't think she really has. Mm-hmm. Or everything is just like super, super heavy emotional conversations. But she's in a different thing. I still say... She's trapped in some type of trauma response and living every second in a trauma response.
For sure. For
Yo,
sure.
Yo, this is Reality Guys. Reality Guys single
reality
life.
Reality Guys. Don't you call us
what
guys.
What if we did a straight version one time? We're like, hey, we're the Reality Guys. Like, we talk about, like, straight guys and beer and,
I
like.
I think that's going to work. But
this
we
is
actually,
my straight guy voice.
We do talk about straight guys.
No, like straight guy. I'm sorry, straight guy things. Like we talk about beer, like football. Like who's your fantasy football draft? Who's your like favorite player? You know, I'm like a big
And what's your
Larry Bird fan?
What's your name for straight? Are you Jim?
No, I am. Oh, what's the straight guy name? Oh, but the two, you know, the two straight guys at our Chicago, who are Chicago, the two tech guys. One was Doug and one was Frank. And mm-hmm. I said, those are two unrepentantly straight male names.
They are.
Kinda, they kind of looked at me and I went, yes, they're like, I guess they are.
We're going to have a lot of gay Dougs and a lot of gay Franks come at us.
There's some gay Franks.
Have I known a gay Frank?
And
I haven't. Maybe one. No.
Did you? I don't know. I think you were away from me in the airport at one point. But over the loudspeaker came Frank Calamari. Frank Calamari, can you please report to a United Gate agent, Frank Calamari?
When you're in Chicago or any of those East Coast cities, you hear, at least for us, y'all, I would watch TV. And like a lot of sitcoms that were based in the East Coast, like mm-hmm. Friends or Cheers or whatever, they would have these people with these names. And I would think...
Like Carmine Ragusa?
Yeah, I would think, what a funny made-up name.
No.
Nobody has a name like that. And then you go to the East Coast and you're like, people are fucking named.
Yeah. And
I'm not saying they're ridiculous names. It just sounds so foreign to me.
Yeah.
Where everybody where I'm from is, you know, named Braylon McKenzie.
Or Shane Journey Cake.
Yes.
Which I still, what was the big deal about him? His father died or his mother died?
His mom passed away.
Yeah.
His mom passed, yeah.
Journey Cake.
Yeah. Great guy. Sweetie.
Let's talk about
the single
life, y'all. This is episode 9.
Just not that into you.
Now,
I guess, does that apply to Stephanie?
I don't know.
And was it clear?
We had no Sinjin this week.
No.
But we did have a good bit of Nitaly.
Loved it.
Nutally.
Loved it. Nutally, yeah.
So, any announcements before we move on through this?
Well, Chicago was wonderful, thank you.
It was.
We're still
tired.
We're still nursing ourselves a little bit with cough drops, so if you're hearing it, bear with us.
Is it because we're old that we don't bounce back?
Yes.
Quick.
Yes. Because, you know, I barely drank in Chicago. It's not like we went out and partied or anything. Mm-mm. I mean, I think we had friends that came to visit us, and we were hanging out in their hotel room just having pizza and drinks, and I think I offered to hand everybody an acid reflux pill.
You did.
And some vitamins before we went to bed.
You did.
We're at that age.
You brought your inflatable pillow.
My wedge pillow.
Wedge pillow.
Poodle made fun of me, and then he got obsessed with the portable humidifier I made him buy.
I did enjoy the portable humidifier.
So that's where we are. That's where we are.
That's where we are
but
now.
But yes, we're old, because before, I mean, hello, we were singers. I mean, that was our college mate. I would go and party and go get drunk, and then...
You were never that big of a partier, though.
I wasn't in college, but I would, like, get drunk, and the night before go and sing for choir.
Yeah.
And go to like...
That was my 20s. I would just get destroyed and then wake up next morning, go sing for church, whatever.
Well, you know what? You were protected by God.
I'm protected by
you
God.
You were protected by God. That,
he basically, the guy she's going on a date with, Josh, basically says, what if I'm like a crazy driver? And you're like, Natalie, he's wanting you to say, oh, he's telling you a joke. And you're going to say, she wants you to kind of volley back at him. And so you say, no, it's fine. I am protected by God.
I wonder with Natalie, what this actually makes me wonder, how did she get with Mike? Like, is it just because it wasn't in person? Is she online?
No, remember
he met her.
He met her through... A friend. She knew someone else he knew.
But how did she not go crazy on him? Like, or is Matt or Mike, was Mike just that obtuse to not kind of see this craziness?
I think he thought it was.
Or did she not do it?
I think he thought it was charming.
Because I can't see how she could have not shown her cards the way she has shown her cards so quickly with everybody else. Unless she is more at 11 because of Mike.
I think she's in distress in this season. I think she's had
worse
a
than
break.
Normal. So you think the mic thing kind of broke things? Because
yeah. This
which
is
makes
worse.
Sense. She's
this
in is, a stranger in yeah. a new land kind of a thing. She doesn't know where she is.
No, this is Natalie like to the nth power. She was always cuckoo, but this is a
and
different
probably
level.
When she was back home, she knew how to. She gets small talk more.
Also, the last time we saw this, Natalie, was when she and Mike were fighting in Ukraine. And she was desperate. Because it's the desperation of not having someone.
She is desperate, yeah.
So this is
she
making
wants that
her...
jizz juice in her for that baby.
I want the child.
I want the child. I want jizz juice. She didn't say that. Sorry, that making a reference to Memphis.
And I think I said jizz cannon.
Yeah, you did.
If you're noticing Maddie's speech today.
Oh, I have Invisalign now, and I'm fine with it. I prepped Poodle for it. Bless his heart, it's driving him crazy. But you get used to it. I've gotten used to your whistle. The what? It happens a lot. You'll be talking, you'll just go, shoo, shoo. But I don't bring it up. I'm just used to it now.
Got to get that fixed.
It's really high, actually.
I got to get that fixed.
When you do it, it'll pierce like through my headphone. But what can you do about it? It's not your fault. Anyway, y'all, I've got Invisalign. It's going to take 6 months, so settle the fuck in. If you have a problem with it,
you know,
fuck
what?
Off. I don't care. I'm fixing my teeth.
If more people have a problem, maybe you can take it out when you do the podcast.
There's no way. You got to wear it like 20 to 22 hours a day. We're getting raw dogged by too much fucking content. I'd have to wear my retainer for a year.
Well, y'all, that says he doesn't care about you. So.
No, I'm working on me. Screw you. That's what I think.
So, y'all, we see Natalie's house. Where was the budget for the gardener?
I didn't even notice
trees.
It.
There's, it's like, it looks like it's in, it's weird.
I mean.
It's overgrown.
She's renting, so it's not obviously. Like she has to take care of it.
And with, well, Mike is renting, let's be
well,
honest.
Yeah, exactly. Like when Josh asked about the divorce, she's like, it's complicated.
I know, I was like leaning in.
But we'll get to that.
So she says, I need to go on more dates. And she says
she met Josh at that modeling event
because he was running it. So everyone she's coming into contact with is something she's. It's just like this chain of people she's met at network events.
Yes.
So he was running the event. She's gonna go play golf now.
Yes.
What do you think about this golf outfit that she's got on? This like short slash skirt.
I thought it was cute. I actually thought good for. I feel like it's the costume for today, and I thought she did. I actually thought she did a good job.
It does look like a golf costume you order from Amazon.
It does, but I kind of want that skirt. It's perfect for me or us if we're wearing that skirt. It's got shorts so you don't see our monkey
That's
brains.
True. That's
we
true.
We can just do what we want and be free.
So I thought he's cute.
Okay.
He's cute. And he's got a big old dick.
He does. He's got
I could
big
told
you can tell
you,
he's got a big old dick.
Y'all, hang on to those ears.
Like a girth one.
Yeah. You hold on to those ears while he's sucking you.
I'll say this, y'all. At one point while they're playing golf, he turned his hat backwards. And you know what I think about a backwards hat, y'all?
I'm not that into him because he's...
That backwards hat, I just think about blowjobs, he's just sucking him off.
He's a little oily, but not as oily as Johnny.
Oh, No.
Yeah.
He seems like a 40-year-old white man who knows he's a little good-looking and he works with models and he's a little into himself, but not
as
terrible.
I thought he was more Latino than white man.
Oh, maybe. He just presented. But 40-year-old good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you look like that and you're 40 years old, you're probably going to be into yourself a little bit because a lot of your friends have kids, they're tired, they're bald, and they're pot-bellied.
Okay. So he basically says he's, and I wrote down, I think he's doing this to promote something. That's the way Possibly. It felt like. So, and she's like, I like, his arms are big.
His arms are, yeah, I hug her. She says, his arms are big. I love that he said, when she said, George asked me, do I play golf? I said, no. He said, you've never played golf? Do you know how to hit the ball? I said, no. But will I play? Yes.
That is the, everything is like, she's acting like Natasha from Boris and Natasha. It's,
she really
everything
is.
Everything is, ugh.
So, and she even says too, I'm going back to this costume. She's like, the skirt is short, and I show him that I'm beautiful. So humble, Natalie. So
she's always had that. She's so always like, I'm goddess.
Yes, she is. I'm sexy and I know it.
He's like working on her stance, which is the oldest trick in the book.
But the producer asked a good question and said, why is it different that Josh is touching you versus when Johnny was touching you? And Natalie says, she said, it's different because I feel his kindness.
You know what? She thinks he has money.
Well, she thinks, but I will say, Josh gives off a totally different vibe.
And Johnny's
than Johnny.
Creepy. Johnny was creepy.
Johnny was creepy.
I agree.
He felt lechy. And also, he touched her after, even more after.
She told him not to.
Told him not to.
Yeah, I agree. I think Josh has more game.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And also, this is, y'all, this is the best kind of date to do now. I even thought as we're watching this, and I went, an activity is great for her because she can't do one-on-one stuff.
No,
it's too intimate.
No, no, no.
She freaks out. And I thought, this is going to be a great first date. They're probably going to have a second date. And then he asked her to dinner, and I went, well, that's not going to go good.
I thought,
and I was right.
I thought the same thing. And I was like, when's she going to mention her need to have, I want a child,
which ironically he brought up first.
Now, we're going to talk about this.
But yeah.
So, she's going over her ideas, and I'm like, please just stow all your crazy questions for the second date.
Yes, please.
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 And that's when she says, he's like, what if I'm a crazy driver? She's like, it's fine. I'm protected by God.
Protected by God. And she's even said, as they're going to dinner before, she said, I did not expect today to go so well.
And she's like, this is the best time I've had. I'm like, slow your roll.
She even tells her, she's like, I want to tell you, this is, best time I've had since I'm here. Because, you know, when I get to hear men, no, it's just horrible, terrible, horrible men who mistreat me and don't realize I'm beautiful.
Ugh.
That's not what she said, but that's what
it
she
might
was
as
saying.
Well, yeah. So she is there.
I'm so grateful to you. It's always so. You're right. Everything is an 11 for her.
Yeah, the stakes
even just
are
saying,
so high.
If somebody opened the door for her, where we would say thanks, she would go, oh my God, thank you so much for opening the door for me.
And I think that's just how she lives.
Are we recording? Okay, we are.
It's better when she's with someone because then she has a little bit of not having to be a frightened rabbit to run from something.
No, because it also helped that she was with Human Gumby.
Yeah.
Who was just like nothing.
Yeah.
And so she was kind of like, in a way, they could have, if Mike wasn't just gross and Natalie wasn't so in her head and crazy, they could have worked. Just those few things.
Yeah. So the first thing we see at the table, you see her staring at his beer.
They even focused on it. Y'all, he's just drinking a Corona with the lime.
And that's like strike one.
Strike one.
And then
Josh actually says, he opens, sorry, I gotta sit up.
Please don't knock my,
it's fine.
You like writhe like crazy on my couch.
Oh, please. You act like that, what was your nickname again that your mother
the
called?
The Wiggler.
Exactly.
But no, you do it with such abandon, you'll knock off part of my couch.
You do this all the time. You've ruined things in my previous cars, just broke knobs.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, Josh says, so what do you want to know about me? I know stuff about what he literally, she said, I wanted to ask questions. And he said, what do you want to know about me?
She said, are you married?
And
he said, no.
No, I'm not. Are you still married?
Yes. Yeah.
It's just, And then, y'all, it's not even like she laughs it off. They cut to her, and you know where Natalie just becomes frozen?
Yeah.
And it's like her eyes get bigger. Her hair kind of expands.
She turns into the White Walker.
Yes, yeah. The White Walker. Or that girl that, what's that movie that...
this is not good.
The Horror Writer writes. The Horror Writer.
Horror writer?
Yes, that's what I said. The horror writer.
Horror.
Yeah, that's what I said. He wrote a Red Rum movie. He wrote...
the Red Rum movie.
Red Rum movie. Red Rum, Red Rum.
Stephen King?
Yes, him. Okay.
Couldn't come up with Stephen King? It was blanking. I'm tired.
Stephen King, but why did I bring Stephen King?
Firestarter?
Yes. Remember the girl from Firestarter?
Drew Barrymore?
That was Drew Barrymore?
Yes, as a child.
Really?
You're doing Natalie right now. Like, really? You don't know anything.
She scared me so much as a kid. I remember seeing that at Jason Jackson's house, and I was terrified.
Why? That movie wasn't a scary movie. Because it was about a child who could start fires.
But remember, every time she started fires, she would kind of stare and her hair would kind of blow in the wind and she'd start fires. That's what Natalie looks like to me. Grown up fire starter. They could have come up with a more clever name for that movie. Firestarter?
We need to move on.
Anyway, but she's standing there and when he asked her and she's staring there in her fire starter pose and she just looks at him and says, "It is too complicated." She gets so serious instead of just laughing it off and saying, "Oh, it's a complicated story. You don't want to hear that."
No, you know why? Because the complicated is, well, if we divorce, then I have to leave the country. And Mike won't pay for me.
And he's paying for everything, yes.
And she's like, "Yeah, you're kind of like a jigsaw puzzle."
Which
she's
is like, jigsaw. She
goes, "What is?"
And then Josh kind of comes up with this beautiful description, I thought, of a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this is a better time for us to, instead of explaining it, to let you relive it in something we like to call reality gay single life theater.
I'll be Natalie.
Okay.
Natalie.
And action.
Oh, what is puzzle?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to figure you out, you know? And so you're a jigsaw puzzle.
Jigsaw.
A jigsaw.
Saw.
Yes.
Saw.
No, not saw? A saw. No.
Like saw I do?
It's like a picture. You know, there's a picture.
I am protected by God.
And there's a picture, but an actual picture, and they put it on...
Picture of me.
Imagine it on a big piece of paper, and then...
It's like someone draw a picture of me. You
know, and then they separate the big picture into little...
No, do not break a picture of Natalie.
No, you put it into smaller pictures... And then
I am not clear.
They're jumbled around, and you have to figure out what goes with the picture, which picture connects with the other picture.
I just want to be happy.
Okay. I want you to be happy. And scene. Y'all, I knew that Josh was done with this date when he said, "And I want you to be happy," because he was going, "Girl, you crazy."
So then, you guys, he says, "So yeah, I have a son and a daughter through two different women."
Well, he says... I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
She goes, "Oh, two."
He's like, "Well, yeah, I have a son from a marriage and then a daughter from," he said, so I have two children from two different women.
Now.
And she goes,
she
has no poker face.
No.
And she goes, smiles. "Oh, really?"
Y'all, this is the judgiest thing ever.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, she went from zero to not interested.
Zero to not interested. And he, go ahead.
And she's like, "Is that acceptable?" And she goes.
No, he says.
That's what I'm saying. He said, is that acceptable?
No, he said, "Is that unacceptable?"
Unacceptable, yeah.
And she looks at him again in Firestarter pose. "I don't know."
Now.
With her wind hair just blowing in the wind of St. Petersburg.
What does she?
Somewhere a house is burning.
Why do you think she has a problem with that?
Well, she said, because he goes on to say, I just want to say, let's finish this out because I think it connects with what you're saying.
He says, "Do you want kids?"
He says to her, "Do you want kids?" Y'all.
She's been wanting to ask it.
This is a conversation she has wanted to have. And instead, she completely shuts down.
Yeah, it's really hard to watch.
She's like looking away. She can't look at him in the eye. It almost looks like she's about to cry or something. And she said, I don't want to talk about children now. And I went, sabotage, 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 sabotage.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that. Why she doesn't want to, why she is bothered by, she says it's because how if he leaves other women, it could be faithful.
Because she's assuming it would be him that left them.
It's because her father left her.
That's true.
Remember, but, no, she said that her father left when she was young.
But I'm saying, why do you think she would not want to get involved with a man who has kids with two different women?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. I think there's not one reason. I think, set aside, she doesn't want to deal with other women. I know.
Ding, ding, ding. Joking,
but I do think an even deeper thing of that is what she said. She brought up the pain of her father deserting them when they're younger.
True. But,
so, but no, I think Natalie thinks a man should stay with child.
Well,
so she doesn't
I agree with
him that, for
that. But she says, I don't want to compete for the heart of a man.
Oh, yeah.
Right after that.
Right. I think it is, but there's a lot of things, but I think both those things are, it's her jealousy and also it's her fear of having to go through what her mother went through.
I think if she was involved with a man who had to regularly see two other women for custody of his children, one, she could hate and deal with. Two is not an option.
Yeah.
I think she sees every woman who is single as a romantic rival.
For sure.
And it's such her issue, you guys.
It's her issue. And she says, but I worry that it didn't work out with them. I worry that he can't get into a serious serious relationship.
The other thing I thought, that's bullshit. But I think...
Well, no, I don't think it's bullshit. I think it's what you're saying, Shijel, but I do think... Do you not remember when she talked about very like it happened yesterday,
yeah,
her father leaving her?
Why would she think... Why would this? I think these are excuses. I'm saying you're thinking he can't be in a serious relationship if he's been with two women.
I think Natalie is one of those people. She will hate the women and be jealous of the women, but also she doesn't trust men at all. That's why she never trusted Mike, who Mike was an idiot. She could have trusted him.
But she knew that Mike had a previous wife.
So, but they didn't have children. So Mike didn't have to see or do anything with that wife. Like, it was totally just glossed over. I think for this guy, it's like she would worry about she would worry about the ex-wives. She would worry about him going back to the ex-wives. It's just too much jealousy and just a multitude of insecurities that she has.
Yeah, I think it's more jealousy. But I think she said something. She's like, no, you are an attractive man. I think she was worried he was too attractive and other women would chase him.
Probably, yeah.
She needs to get an uggo like Mike.
Because she doesn't trust men at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I wrote down another goose egg, y'all. She gets really quiet on the way home.
She is,
completely retreats.
She just is so morose and she's driving in the car and she has her hand up and she's just kind of like looking like she has a migraine.
Do you think she's aware and when she's this or that the other person is even there?
No, that's where I'm like, I do think Natalie has like some, I do think she has some mental issues she really needs to work on.
That's putting it mildly.
But like, there's some, I don't have the time, but there's some diagnosable stuff in there.
But she's like, so that's, there you go. Thank you, bye. And
I don't think Natalie has, oddly enough, she has, I don't think she's like a sociopath or anything like that. However, she really has no empathy.
Yeah.
She really doesn't. If you think about that, she doesn't really consider other people's feelings, nor is she even able to hold that or even sit with the idea of other people's feelings and imagine what that would be.
And it's interesting because...
That's not good.
Natalie has a lot of... From her season with Mike, there were a lot of Natalie apologists. And yeah. I would love to see what they think now. Because Mike was shitty, y'all.
It was shitty.
But constantly defending Natalie as her just doing normal things.
Mike was shitty, but I will say Mike was consistent.
Yeah.
And Mike likes consistency. Natalie is the most inconsistent. I bet life with her is it's so inconsistent, but I bet life with her is just, you feel like you're in a roller coaster and you don't know. I'm not saying she's bipolar or anything like that. I don't think that. But there is something going on where she just is almost like drama addicted, love addicted, like just...
Everything's at 11.
Yeah.
Y'all, we're going to... That's it for them. We're going to go to Debbie. But before that, we're going to take a break. For those of you who are... This is on our free feed. If you're on our Patreon, just hold on a second.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love.
It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Song Finch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Oh, Mom, I love going to San Diego. That's where
Come on, Kiwi, it's time for a road trip.
Near SeaWorld. Can we go to SeaWorld, Mom, or did they close it?
You know, SeaWorld, I don't really like whales too much.
No, Mom, I love them. They said whales needed to be in the open, but I say keep on, keep on.
Great. Pee-wee is also a fan of animal
cruelty.
Of animal cruelty.
And he has bloodlust.
Yes.
Y'all, we're talking about Mother Debbie.
There's not a lot here. Although this is...
I just want to say there is a lot. There is a lot here. And it's called... Colt's goatee.
Oh my God, that
he
beard is
needs
so
to
awful.
Shave. This
looks horrendous.
Horrible. How can
it
Vanessa.
It looks like there's gravy in it.
Yeah, there is E. coli in that beard. I know it. How can Vanessa. And y'all, I know. Y'all, Vanessa and he go at it.
Yeah.
So you know he's chomping at the gooch. Just in there. Just right up in there. And that shit's on that beard. Or probably, you know, he takes her to Rimtown.
Yeah. It's not good.
It's not good.
He
needs to
looks
shave.
Awful.
I can't imagine. You know, we have shorter beards, but like when I eat food, I have to often like I'll smell food from when I've got to wash my like beard or cleanse. What can you imagine his goatee smells like?
I do that. But the only that happens to me is when I'm eating like Tasmanian devil style. So I assume that's what's how you're eating.
No, like I just smell the food. I always do. I have to clean it off. I'm just like, nope.
That doesn't happen to me, but I do wipe my face afterward.
Yeah, but I mean, can you imagine with this long thing he has?
No,
it's
just
gross.
I'm just saying. Normally, when I'm taking bites of food, mm-hmm. there's not. A panoply of food all over my beard.
Well, I'm the one that has to watch you, so yeah, I don't think you realize what I'm seeing.
No, you. I've seen
I've
you
seen
eat.
Poodle,
it's terrifying.
I've seen poodle rim job a hot dog.
It's not pretty.
I agree. I'm saying you eat very fast.
Well, yeah.
And that's when you get it all over you.
You had to if you wanted seconds in my house.
Lord. Because your brother was a large person and so was your father.
My dad was, yeah. Yeah. No, my brother, he was, but my dad, he eat quick. Grew up so poor.
That's why you get it all over your face.
No, but I'm not saying I'm a clean eater, but I just, you know, the ENT that I went to told me she, when I had sinus surgery and stuff, she said, they did an evaluation. She told me, she said, you have a very acute sense of smell. And
maybe that's what it is.
And so I just smell it. I can't deal with it.
I wipe my face down when I finish eating. I don't think that's a weird thing to do.
No, I don't think. No, I do too. But can you imagine? I'm just saying.
You mean a long beard?
Yes, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It would smell bad.
It's going to smell bad.
Yeah.
Because you know Colt's not using a beard wash, y'all.
No. So she is dating this guy named Bill.
Bill! I love him, showing.
He can't play golf or tennis or polo.
Oh, we did totally different Bill.
Sing a solo, okay.
Because I'm loving you, Bill.
Yeah, I know that one, too.
I know. I was doing a mashup.
What, that song is actually not called Bill, but it's Wedding Bell Blues.
Oh. Look at that. They should have called it Bill.
I think it's Fifth Dimension, I believe.
Not familiar. Actually, I am familiar. I just didn't know the name.
So he is 72 or 74.
We see a picture of them. However, there's a continuity thing because they show us a picture. But later on in the car, Audrey and Debbie say they haven't seen hasn't seen a picture of him.
Yeah.
So I think we will end up seeing this guy. They're kind of leading us that we're not.
She's like, he's family oriented. And
Audrey comes with them, by the way, because Debbie says.
God, she's the ride or die.
Yes. Audrey's like, she keeps it positive. Where Coty, he's a. No.
And Colt says, I feel like I've become my mother's father. And I wrote again, his beard is terrible.
His beard. He is a parentified child, though.
Yeah.
That is for sure. I do feel for Colt because I think that it's a weird thing when you're that enmeshed with your mother or with any family member. And it's actually painful for all parties involved to make that separation. But it's probably way more painful for Debbie because she doesn't want to make it.
Yeah.
I feel for Colt. I bet he feels a lot of guilt about that. Because say what you want to about Colt, he does love his mother, and he is a good son to his mother.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
So he's like, no, we haven't been sexting. Haven't been sexting or anything like that. No, he just sent me a dick pic. And Colt
what
says,
I wish
I was dead.
Colt said, I wish a nudie cutie.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to use those.
A nudie cutie.
Although I don't really send them anymore.
Mine ain't
Do
cute.
You, poodle?
Not familiar.
Yeah.
That's
maybe
like,
you should call yours a slutty wetty.
A dick pic is like a wave on Grindr.
It kind of is now.
So anyway, they haven't FaceTimed.
No.
And they're like fighting. Colt and Debbie are fighting just because it's a road trip and that's what they do.
Well, because Debbie, our Colt and Audrey are asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But normal questions, just kind of like, have you ever FaceTimed with this guy? And Debbie's like, no. Have you ever, did you ask like what he used to do? No. She asked
it
nothing.
It does seem
y'all.
Like they're driving 300 miles for someone who is just nebulous.
And y'all, this is a 5.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
This would be like me saying in Ardmore, Oklahoma, saying, I'm going to date someone in Houston. That is how long that drive is.
Is it that far?
Yes, it's a 5 hour. Actually, yeah,
kind of
five.
The whole middle part of the country. You just have to drive and drive.
You can drive an entire 24 hours in Texas and start, and you're still in Texas.
That's awful.
It's true, both ways. When we went down to Matamoros on choir tour, we drove
Matamoros.
Matamoros, yeah, it's over. It's down by Brownsville. It's just on like.
Oh, I know where Brownsville is.
So on the tip of Texas, we went to Matamoros for choir tour.
We went
to Brownsville.
You can get all the way across South Carolina in about from like the tip to the beach in about 4.5 hours.
Yeah, most states, but Oklahoma's. It's like. If you go the panhandle, it's like 7 hours, 7-8 hours.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
and the Panhandle of Oklahoma. I've never been there, but it's just nothing I've heard.
You've never been? I guess what reason would you have to go?
No one goes to the Panhandle. You don't ask what happens there.
Wow!
Things just happen there and you
is
don't
it
know
just
about it.
Like
that's where bodies are buried.
Indigenous reservations?
Actually, I think it is now a lot of... Because that they literally pushed the indigenous people to like the most barren part of the state. Mm-hmm.
That's what I assumed was there.
Yeah, real nice. So no, I've never had to go there.
So y'all, they're just fighting. They're all fighting about Debbie's guy. And she, of course, gets out of the car.
Well,
she's freaked
they're
out.
They're fighting because Debbie, y'all, what happens is they're asking legitimate questions. Debbie goes into a shame spiral. That's what Brene says. Shame spiral. But yeah, it is because, but that Debbie won't admit this. She realizes, oh shit, I don't know fucking anything about this guy, and we're driving all the way to San Diego to do this. She gets out of the car.
They do get her back in the car because of Audrey. Thank God for
Audrey.
Thank God.
She's like, come on, Debbie, don't
do
this.
You're pissing me off.
Yeah, you're pissing me off now.
At the hotel, they're texting Bill and says, where are we going? They don't even have concrete plans.
No, they don't even have plans. And so you're like, Debbie...
And she's like, maybe he's asleep. And they didn't make plans.
Maybe we can kill him in the night, Mom.
Pee-wee, is this why we came?
Oh, all right, Mom. He'll be sleeping. We'll give him that margarita and he'll never wake up. Mom.
No, Pee-wee thought so much about murder.
By the way, Mom, why are you wearing this blush? I don't think it looks good on me. Covers me
and
up.
And he's a bitch.
He's a bitch.
That's all I've got. Should we talk about...
Tiffany. Let's talk about Farty McGee.
Y'all, if you are just finding out that she went to the hospital because she's been
her diet's been too much beans
and broccoli, I don't wish harm on anybody, but I also don't wish her well. I'm kind of like, I can't send you good vibes for doing that to yourself.
I have no sympathy for her.
You didn't do it under a doctor's orders.
No, none.
So they're calling it a fartrepreneur.
She is a fartrepreneur.
So I think she's retired from the fart business.
She is.
As a fart peddler.
Y'all, she's waking up this morning with Fred.
It gives room in the market for Poodle's Poots, though.
Poodle's Poots coming at you. And y'all, funny enough, he doesn't have to eat beans and things to be that gassy. It just happens.
She's waking up next to Fred. And you guys, we thought they were going to have sex and they were getting a little bit heated. And the first thing that she says is, we drank a little too much. I don't know what happened.
Y'all.
Guess what? We called it.
When somebody you're with the next morning says, I drank so much, and they act like they got so drunk, that means they want you to leave.
Yeah. It means leave.
It means get out of their house. That's what it means. But so they go eat breakfast. They're eating parfait. And
parfaits.
Plural. So Fred said, how are you? That reminded me of parquet.
Parfait.
Parquet.
Butter. Butter.
I wonder if we'll ever see butter again.
I hope so, and I hope not.
Butter. Pure creamery butter.
So they're eating breakfast, and Fred just says, how do you feel about last night? She's like, well... And we find out there was making out and some touching, but she said in the moment, I don't want to do this.
I felt weird. I feel
weird. I don't
want
to go farther. And he was like, fine. And she said, you know, I really enjoyed most of it. And Fred's like, just that whole penis thing. And she was like, yeah. And then Fred made this astute observation when he said, you know, it reminded me of when we were young and I almost took your virginity in high school. We've kind of come back around and done the same thing. So, and Stephanie goes, oh my God. And I went, even we can see that you're recreating the same fucking patterns in your childhood and you don't want to actually face
I know.
Your,
I was
and grow
like,
up.
Yeah.
I was like,
even Fred gets it.
Even Fred gets it, Stephanie.
And he smells like Funyuns and cigarettes.
And you would have fucked him.
I think I would have.
You would be into Fred.
God, you know what? As soon as she woke up with him and I was thinking, looking at that scraggly hair, I'm like, God, I would have fucked that guy.
Yeah, because that kind of skinny with all the tattoos.
I have no respect for myself.
Yeah, because you have a thing with guys with tattoos.
I do. It's a problem.
Why don't you have any tattoos?
I could never find anything that would symbolize something that I wanted, that I liked as much.
Do you also?
I think after my first tattoo, it'd be okay.
I think for a lot of people, it's the first time. Yeah, but one of your greatest fears would be to get a tattoo and then be out and about and see somebody else with the same tattoo.
Oh, that'd be the worst thing I can imagine.
Yeah, I bet that would really bother.
It would all need. That's like people with tribal tattoos.
Uh huh.
I can't imagine anyone who has a tribal tattoo on their arm now goes, I'm really glad I got this. I love the look. It's there now, and they're like okay with it.
Yeah.
They've become okay with it. But no, if I saw...
Now they're kind of attracted to me, though, only because...
Oh, I think they're so hot on guys.
You know why they're hot to us?
I don't love sleeves.
You know why they're hot to us? Because when we were in high school and college and like those early coming boys. Out, those were the cute boys that were getting them at the time, and they wouldn't show us a time of day.
Yep. Like, I like tattoos too much. I think there's a certain hotness to it, but I don't want to date anyone with a sleeve. It's just not for me.
Well, I don't know. Oh, yeah. I would date somebody with a sleeve. I wouldn't care.
Really?
Yeah.
No, would you think it's hot? It's not about not caring.
Depending on what the sleeve looks, because some of them are beautiful. It's really, for me, not about the sleeve. It's more about, I've never gotten a tattoo because a tattoo draws attention to your body. And I already have so many issues about like my body and not that I've worked on. But
yeah, I pointed them out.
I don't. Yeah. And so... I don't want to get a tattoo on my arm unless I have like a big arm muscle, and I don't have that.
Oh, I don't think that at all.
I'm just saying, but that's how I relate to it. So because,
well, that's sad. I want something more for you.
No, I'm fine with it.
Just sad.
Well, anyway, I mean, we've had our things. If I had a tattoo and I saw somebody else with the same tattoo, I'd go, oh my God, that's amazing. And you would go into a complete spiral.
I'd murder them.
And so we each got our things.
I would ask if they would get it removed.
See, that's a little sad to me. What if there's somebody else like you in the world? That's kind of wonderful. You're not alone.
It's too close. I'd need them. We would either have to be together forever.
Oh, wow.
Or go against one another like Highlander style. There can be only
this
one.
This is turning into a Netflix episode of You. Let's move on.
So she basically says, with us, this just feels like friendship. And Fred's like, I respect that, but you know, you can always call me, especially if you want someone to make you come.
When he said that, Poodle went.
I went. Ooh.
Even I kind of went.
I like the cut of your jib, sir.
Yeah, I was like, well played, Fred. I might call you too.
And then she says, like, she's making this grand observation. She's like,
her big Oprah aha.
I think I've really taken the fun out of having sex. I think I've made it more something that I thought it should be. Maybe I should just try to find love. And then it will just happen. And blah, blah, blah. And I want to fall in love. And I'm optimistic. And, you know, I think this is her last episode. Well, I really think it is.
This is 9. I looked. Last season, they did 12. So I can't imagine her not being on 3 more episodes.
Didn't it feel final?
But it did feel final for her, yeah. For sure.
Because what else could they talk about?
No. Unless they want to take 3 more episodes for her to meet someone and, like, fuck them.
But see, I don't think that was ever the arc.
I don't think so.
We were supposed
either.
To believe that it was breaking her celibacy.
Now, tell me you're Stephanie without telling me. This is the most Stephanie arc ever.
Yeah.
We make the arc about sex. And then when it comes time to have the sex, you don't want that. Then you want to take, y'all, that's literally what she did. That was the arc with her and Erica.
Yeah.
She's going to recreate the sex. She's going to come in hot, heavy, and sexy, because she's beautiful. She's got great tits, beautiful eyes, beautiful face. And TLC knows sex sells. And they know that, y'all, Stephanie is here to get your husband to watch.
Full stop.
You know, you might have something there.
As a producer, I know that's exactly why she is here. Come at me if your husband thinks Stephanie is gorgeous.
She is. She's very pretty.
I know, but I bet a lot of guys are into her. I know some of our lesbian and bi sissies are, too.
Yeah. I just find her personality maddening.
Speaking of
everything about her.
Let's talk about Yessie and Yennefer.
Yessie and Yennefer.
Yessifer.
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 There's this almost like nothing.
Which was wonderful.
Now, this is post the comment of him saying, did he pay for you to go out with him?
Yes. And Yennefer is like, I'm offended because he said I'm a whore. He knows that I'm a working mom. And he insinuated that I'm a type of escort. And that's unacceptable.
And y'all, he did not insinuate that. He said it.
He said it.
Now, he says, she knows this is a miscommunication.
We're experiencing.
Now, he's straight up lying about what he says.
Because they showed back what he said. Yeah.
He says, I asked that she was like a paid Instagram for him.
Because he said in the thing, did he pay you to take you on a date? Now, he didn't finish that and say, did he pay you to take you on a date for Instagram? Maybe he meant that.
His exact words were, he paid you to go on a date with him.
Yes. Now, he didn't say for the Instagram. Instagram.
But how, and is it weird that would be some company paying you to...
No, and you see why Jesse and Darcy never worked out? Because we just watched, actually, we're going to record Darcy and Stacey after this. If you watch this first episode of Darcy and Stacey season 3, spoiler alert, it's already good. It's going to be a good season.
It's going to be a good season.
It's going to be a good season. But Georgie knows exactly how to apologize to Darcy. Yep. And I think in a sincere way. Mm-hmm. Like, he offered her this really heartfelt apology, talking about kind of his own feelings. Talking about your feelings is porn to Darcy. And Yennefer, even though she doesn't, they needs more of that. Where you see Jesse walks right up to her and says,
you need a hug?
Need a hug.
And then he basically explains why she's incorrect.
And she said, I'm angry why you disrespect
me. You misunderstood me.
It took him like 10 minutes before he said, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
So now he's shaming her for misinterpreting her.
And then it's worse. He says, I'm choosing to be positive because I wasn't going to bring up all the Kakua stuff.
He also said
so awful.
He actually said to her before that, you know what I meant, and you putting this out of context is not okay.
Yeah, like he's trying to establish a boundary.
He never says he's sorry.
No.
Never says he's sorry. Which honestly, I don't think Yennefer would say she's sorry either. Because they're both too much alike. But we see this is that sociopath part of Jesse where, again, yeah, he can't ever be wrong. He can't ever say that he fucked up in some way.
This was hard to watch because you feel sorry for her because you know.
Oh, I don't.
But I'm saying he called her an escort. He did that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do believe that she was hurt by it.
Oh, for sure. But I still think this whole thing, that slap, if you call a woman an escort and they're offended by it, they're going to slap you a lot harder than that. Anyway.
I agree.
Fraudacity.
Fraudacity.
Y'all, that's the show.
That's the show.
You can go to realitygaze.com. That's where you can find all things. You can go to our Linktree link, our New York. That's for our, you can find all of our live show information. New York City. It's coming up.
New York City.
At the end of January. We're excited. Other tour dates as well. Unless you're listening to this on the free feed, then that happened about 3 months ago. You missed it.
Then we're going to be on the apology tour by then.
By then, still go to the Linktree link because maybe we're in a city or coming back around in a city near you.
Yeah, see?
See? See? See, Mom, I knew they'd come. All right. We call these people lonely hearts, Mom, because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, Mom?
That's right, Pee-wee. And if you... And if you drove 300 miles to meet someone you really never talked to, just with the hope of meeting someone who'll love you, or maybe even have sex with you, and your mole on your face wants to kill him, call us.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.